said, be brave, my son, I'll be home soon. The boy held on to hope till he got that awful news. And as they folded up the stars and stripes, 21 guns pointed towards the sky. As the shots rang out, he flinched a little each time. Then a soldier in his best dress walked up to him, and you know the rest.
Operation Encore is a 501c nonprofit that is helping veterans turn into rock stars every single day. You can learn more about what Operation Encore is doing by going over to their website at www.operationencore.org. That is www.operationencore.org. If you can give them a hand, just click that little donate button or follow all of their social medias and learn exactly what they are doing to change the lives of our veterans every single day. Hey, welcome everybody to Spirits and Stories. This is your host, Donald Dunn. Hey, I am telling you what, man, we've had some deep conversations here recently, and today we are going to have a little bit of fun. We've got Bob Lament from Static Radio, so let's welcome Bob.
Hey, everybody. Hey, you think it's going to be lighthearted just because I'm a cartoon cat?
Hey, man, you're the coolest cat in the town, man.
It probably will be. I'll be honest with you. Yeah, I'm not overly serious most of the time. So
I try not to be. You know, my work involves me being seriously disappointed every day. So I'll try to just be happy today.
There was a rim shot at the end of that one.
Yeah, you ain't lying. I might be unemployed after that one.
Oh no.
So why don't we tell everybody? I know your show has been around for ever.
Too long, so, yeah.
Yeah.
Feeling decrepit.
So, man, 1999, January 1st, like the first day of 1999, you were starting a show. And I wonder, you know, thinking back to that, were you nervous that your show would end at Y2K? Was you like December 31st, like, holy crap, what did I start? I should have waited.
No, I didn't. That's funny you mentioned Y2K. Because, yeah, I remember it vividly, and everybody was worried about it because of the banking issues and so forth. The computer issues with banking, basically, is what was the big thing. But I work with computers. I've worked with computers for a long time, I guess you could say. And, yeah, I wasn't too worried about it. And I remember we actually had people hired in to deal with Y2K issues.
Really?
Which was basically updating machines so they wouldn't freeze up on the day. And they were mostly interns or something, because they just basically had to go through and run update software. But no, I wasn't worried about it because I thought, you know, we're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. It was a bit of a, you know, a little overhyped on some measures, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And absolutely. Being involved in that, I kind of knew that a little bit. So,
yeah. Well, let me
ask you, I wasn't overly concerned.
What brought you into podcasting?
So we started pre-podcasting because podcasting hadn't become a word until like 2004.
Yeah.
So we were just doing, we called it internet radio at that point because that's kind of what the term was. Mm-hmm. But my friend and I, Miles, who I do the show with, we did college radio. So we were in college. College bums, and we had the radio, and I worked for the college radio station in the capacity of the promotions person for a while, and we enjoyed doing it. So we basically a variation of what we still do today, which is kind of you know, it sounds inspiring if you say it a certain way, but then if you think about it, you're like, that's awful sad. You're still doing the same thing you did when you were in college. But the show basically was an aspect of what we did on college radio. So we would play, they had to play songs because it was college radio. You had to play something, you know? And yep. So we would play, you know, some kind of goth, crazy alternative music. And then in between, we would just tell funny stories about things that happened on campus or things that happened to us during our day. And then once we got out and had to be in the real world, we were kind of like yourself. We were so disappointed and disillusioned that we said, well, hey, can we tell those stories? And I said, well, I have an idea. Let's just record them and we'll throw them on the internet. And that's what happened. So, yeah, we just started doing it out of kind of, you know, a creative release, I suppose, in a way. That sounds dirty now. I don't mean to sound dirty, but it was a creative endeavor. We'll put it that way. So we had to deal with, you know, the pains of being in the rat race. And so this was a way for us to kind of have a good time and tell some funny stuff and you know, be more yourself. Because, you know, just like you said, sometimes you just can't. You can't totally be yourself at work, because if you are, then you probably will get let go sometimes.
I just had the HR lady give me a notepad that said 101 things that HR said I cannot say.
Okay. Number one.
Yeah. I've definitely been through all of those.
Being well, how can you keep military. Track of that? That's outrageous.
That's what I'm saying. You know, I think it's stereotypical.
Yeah, you can't keep track of all that. Come on, 101. My goodness, you couldn't even name 101 animals. Anybody? Come on.
Yeah, and who says that some of these words should have been said a long time ago? That's the truth.
Which words are those?
Well, I mean, they might start with an F or
okay,
or you know.
Well, so now that's interesting. So cursing, right? I don't know if you're a big curser on your show or not.
It doesn't bother me.
Okay, 20 so years I won't. Hair. I'll try to be somewhat reserved. But the interesting thing is that cursing is part of. You know, they like to think that cursing isn't part of the work environment, but it is.
Oh,
it depends
is.
On where you're working. Now, if you're, you know, on the sales floor of selling new cars, you probably don't want to be cursing too much if you're trying to sell like Mercedes or something like that. But if you're selling Ford F-150s, well, God damn it, you better say a few curse words because they aren't going to take you seriously.
That is true, man. And you know?
What kind of truck you want? You want a shit hauler? Or you want something nice you can take to the opera?
That's a fucking Ford Ranger.
That's right. That's not a dually. That's a Ford Ranger. Exactly.
You know, the sad part is I work for a mining company, man. So all those guys out there, they've got.
Oh, it's just, that's language. That's the language.
Yeah. That's, you know, if you're
if you have a chance of dying in your job, you can say fuck. It's okay.
I agree. Yeah.
You're just sitting in a desk all day, then yeah, you probably don't need to be saying that because you're not going to die.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I sit at my desk sometimes and think, fuck, what am I doing? I should just retire. But damn office space, man.
Yeah, a long time ago I worked for the parcel service, United Parcel Service, right? and this is in college, and I loaded trucks in the middle of the night, right? So you go to work at 10 o'clock or so forth, and you get done like 2 o'clock in the morning, right? And it is a hard job. It's a terrible job that I don't wish anybody to do. If you can make a better living doing something else, do it, because it's terrible. But that was everything. I never cussed more in my life than when I worked at the parcel service, because every other word was fuck this, fuck that shit, yeah, fuck shit, motherfucker, fuck this fucking box, yep. I dropped this shit. And it just becomes, that's the environment, right? So it's just a bunch of people, and it wasn't all men. It was women as well. There was no split, and they were all cussing worse than I was. It was just terrible how much we cussed, but that was the environment, right? Because you're basically asked to do something that is not easily done in the time period that you're doing it in. If I could take all day and sort boxes and put them in trucks, then I wouldn't be cussing, but they had to do it in 4 hours, and they rammed boxes up your ass until until the night was done. And by the end of it, you're like, I hate this fucking place. And then you come back the next night to do it all over again. So yeah, environment, I think, plays a big role. Everybody can't, you know, everybody's environment's not the same. And yeah. You can't treat them all the same. And unfortunately, yeah. That's what HR wants to do.
Well, I'm going to tell you, that's the one field where the phrase, I'm going to go postal, you know, came from.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly.
Getting boxes shoved up your ass is going to make you want to kill some people.
Well, I mean, you know, what do you want to say? So I can tell you old parcel stories, but so you always knew. So I worked there for a little over 3 years, which was a very long time in the parcel world for that job. It was just a part-time job, right? So, but it was a union job. So I was a union guy. But I started out, and then by 3 years, I was number 7 in seniority for the building, which gives you an idea. And there's like, you know, probably 100 and some people, right? In this building. So that gives you an idea how much turnover happens, because everybody would show up when they got hired. And after you've been there a little while, you just look at them. You're like, not going to make it, not going to make it, you know, not going to make it for an hour. I mean, literally everybody would be, you know, kind of like not really placing bets, but would make comments. Like, this guy's number one, he's going to be puking and he's going to be out of here within the hour. He's not even going to make it an hour. And then every once in a while, somebody will surprise you. But I mean, it was just funny how everybody kind of sized people up when they walked in the door. You know, it was just, it was funny. But I mean, that's probably, I'm sure, I don't know if people get, I mean, I haven't been in that job for quite some time, but I couldn't imagine ever getting in trouble at that job for cursing or saying anything. I mean, you'd be like looking at him cross-eyed, like, what is wrong with you? You know, you're pulling people through the knot hole here and you want them to be nice.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's funny the way you said that, because where I work, when you're the new guy, so they have to rotate breaks. A new guy always gets the very last break, because we've had so many people go to their lunch break and never come back.
That's right.
Yep. They just keep walking.
Yeah.
So we're going to at least get 4 hours out of them.
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding. Some people don't believe me when they talk about it, but that was the toughest job that I think I had. I was never in the military or anything. I'm sure that's tougher. That was probably one of the toughest things, because basically you work in a building full of garage doors and it's either a bazillion degrees in there or it's negative 10 degrees in there or something, because they pull the trucks away and they don't shut the garage door for you to keep the heat in. So, but I mean, you said you work in mining. And so, I mean, these poor guys are down in the mine working, and it's just, you know, the conditions are what they are, and you know it going into it, but it doesn't mean you got to be happy.
No. Yeah. I work in the smelter part of it. I'm the general supervisor for the maintenance department. And you talk about you should get paid combat pay for working there.
Oh, I mean, if it's hot, probably.
It is 140, 150 degrees. You have to wear a respirator because we're a lead smelting.
Oh my factory. Gosh! So,
yeah, it's miserable.
Yeah, I can imagine it being that hot. I couldn't do. So I always felt bad for people who worked in the water department. Like if you see the water main break in the wintertime and water shooting out of a hole, I'm like, oh, those poor bastards. It's got to be so cold. Yeah. I didn't hate the heat too, but just thinking of extreme temperatures, can you, you know, that's one of those jobs where the guy's down in the hole trying to fix the water main and water's shooting all over him and it's like, you know, freezing outside.
Yep.
Doesn't sound like a good time to me, but.
No, that was this whole winter. I mean, that's all we did all winter long was chase water leaks.
Oh my gosh. That's horrible work. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, it sucks bad, but you got to make a living, man. The guy named Bill, he wants his share, so.
Yeah. I thought his name was Tax, but.
That's his brother.
Bill and Tax. Tax and Bill.
Yep.
But, yeah, I know. It's just, yeah, it's getting ridiculous. I was just talking to a friend of mine about this, and I said that we'll talk like a couple old men here for a moment, that everybody is so sickeningly polite these days.
Yes.
Even when they don't need to be, and when it isn't warranted, and they're all worried about everybody. It's like, you know, sometimes in some situations, it's better, you know, you don't need to be like that. I mean, this is the way it is. Like the guy that you said, the guy that leaves at lunch, right? Yeah. Oh, that poor guy. It's been so tough working here. It's like, there's like 50 other people doing this job. This guy just couldn't hack it. You know, screw him. Yep. I'm glad he left at lunch or whenever at the break, because now we don't have to deal with his sorry ass.
Yep. And half the people still working there are older than him.
Yeah, exactly. Why? What is all this sympathy for this situation? I mean, it's better. It's all better because that happened, and he doesn't deserve any sympathy. And you know, it worked out for the best.
I think.
Why do we have to worry about these things?
I think we should blame warning labels for the situation that we're in, because we have quit weeding out the ones that should have been weeded out a long time ago.
Oh my goodness. Like the hot coffee kind of thing.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, no, you didn't order an iced coffee, did you? Come on. You ordered a coffee. It's hot. That's what coffee is these days.
I mean, why do you have to have a label that says, don't put the Tide Pod in your nose?
I would like to see somebody put a whole Tide Pod up their nose by itself.
I'm sure it'll be a TikTok challenge. Just keep watching.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, that whole thing was, I think that was probably one of those media, maybe one person did it, but they just like ran with it because everybody was like so fascinated with this whole idea. It's like, although I, you know, little bitty kids maybe, but anyway, they shouldn't be playing with Tide. I didn't do my own laundry till I was an adult, for Christ's sake. What's kids doing with Tide Pods?
Exactly.
What are they doing hanging out with the Tide Pods?
Their best friend, my friend Tide.
That's right. Oh my gosh, it's so tasty.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at the adults, you know. Smoking bath salts and everything else, you know.
Everybody's chasing their buzz, I guess.
I reckon.
You think, well, exactly.
What happened to the good
all
day,
these like dispensaries? They wouldn't have to do that, but.
Yeah, you're right. You know, in my day, you stood outside the liquor store like a honest young man and begged people to buy it for you.
That's right. Exactly.
It built character.
You used your social skills to get alcohol. You're like, hey, I'll give you 40, you keep 20 and bring out whatever.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Absolutely. Exactly.
You know, and it worked out great because all my dates like Boone's Farm, so that was cheap.
Yeah, really. You were like, here, I'll give you $5. Keep the change.
Exactly.
The guy's like, I get like $4.75. Holy moly, this is the best.
One hell of a tip.
That's great.
I can almost fill my car up.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly. Well, nowadays, yeah. I'm talking, back in the day, sure.
Yeah.
Nowadays, yeah, it's not even worth the you know, they're not going to take your money for that. They'll be like, yeah, come on. If you have anything less than a hundo, I'm not dealing with you.
You know, that would be an amazing YouTube video. If we could like take a kid from today's age and put them way back in the early days, like the late 70s, early 80s, and just have them fill a car up full of fuel and watch them stand there, one, and figure out where to put their card. Start the pump and then try to figure out what leaded and unleaded means.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
That would be hilarious.
Remember Ethel? Holy moly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want $5 of Ethel. That's funny. I think Ethel had alcohol in it. That was the deal with Ethel, so.
Yeah,
I'm trying to remember. It's been a long time.
Corn.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fuel made through the process of corn.
Yeah, see? And I mean, they have that now with the – well, I think everything is kind of watered down now, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Except for – I think everything's got at least 10% or something. But it used to be that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
So you had to get the ethyl.
Yeah, and everybody talked about how good of a fuel was, and it turns out to be horrible for emission components, yeah. Map sensors and mass airflow sensors and everything else.
Yeah, O2. Well, you know, it worked for a while.
Yeah, but hey, if you're a farmer, man, it was great for you. You're like, people ain't eating this shit no more. Let's just fucking shove it in their car.
That's right. Put it somewhere. We'll put it. That was before they put it in Coca-Cola.
Well, it kind of makes sense now that you think about it. You know, in the old days, there was more corn being made into alcohol for consumption than what people were eating. Right. And then when they cornered that market and kind of put a stop to the old moonshining, they were like, fuck, now we're just stuck with people eating this shit. And then they were like, couldn't afford to live no more. So they're like, well, why don't we go back to making alcohol and we'll just stick it in the cars?
Yeah, there you go. Lots of places this stuff can be sold.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's – have you ever seen the – oh, gosh, now I'm a blank on the name of the movie. The Informant. There's a movie called The Informant with Matt Damon. Have you seen that?
I have not.
Oh, you have to watch it. It's a good movie talking about commodities trading and so forth. Anyway, the funny part to me, I grew up in a little place called Decatur, Illinois. And Decatur, Illinois is famous for two things. One of them is Archer Daniels Midland, which is what The Informant is about, because they did price fixing on corn prices across the, actually globally, I think, at one point. And they got in trouble for it finally. But that movie is about that, and it's set in Decatur back in the 80s, late 80s. So, yeah. Okay. And then also because of the high fructose corn syrup was a big product for Archer Daniels, because they went to that direction as well. But, yeah, it's interesting. The other thing was President Reagan and Mikhail Gorbachev came to town one time, and they fixed a road from the airport all the way to Archer Daniels.
One road, that's it.
They basically put all this money, well, because all these at Archer Daniels, all these trucks for grain trucks and everything would be coming and going all day, and the road was a piece of shit. It was just full of potholes and everything. And the next thing you know, Gorby's coming to town with the president, and they basically fixed the road from there, from the airport all the way over to Archer Daniels, because it was so full of potholes that they thought it would be a bad thing. So, yeah. That was probably the one time when everybody was focused on Decatur.
Can you imagine that meeting? So Gorbachev is coming. Where should we take him? What part of the United States? Let's just take his ass to Decatur.
Yeah, take him to Decatur. He's probably had no clue. You know, he's like, eh. But it was because of Archer Daniels, which had at the time a tremendous amount of power, because of the price fixing. I don't know that they, I mean, I'm assuming people were smart enough to realize that at the time, but that was a big doings. I remember when all that was happening. So I was young, but I still remember.
Yeah.
Not too many times you can say the Russian president visited your town. I mean, it wasn't happening back then. They didn't trust him. So,
well, I'm Ukraine says it quite a bit, you know,
right now.
Yeah. I'm probably going to get canceled, but that's all right. It is ironic the world that we are living in for sure. Well, let me ask you this, man. With you been podcasting since 1999, I know you must have had a ton of guests on. Who are some of the guests that you just enjoyed having?
That's the funny thing. So we have had guests and so forth, but typically we don't have that many guests. It just depends on a lot of factors. So the funny thing is we kind of tried all kinds of different things early on, and we did have people on, like, but not necessarily anybody you would know at the time, but there's a gentleman by the name of John Hargrave, Sir John Hargrave, and he was kind of an internet phenomenon back in that time period, and he used to do pranks, and he actually put out a book called Prank the Monkey, and we had him on, and I've actually talked to him over the years. He's not the hilarious. Here's the biggest prank. So he pulled pranks. So he did a thing at the Super Bowl where he gave, whenever Prince was at the Super Bowl, he gave everybody the Prince symbol on a light, and then he had them light up, and it had a rude message on the stadium because he gave them out to only certain people. That was a big prank that he did. He had a fake Michael Jackson show up someplace, and this is before Michael Jackson died, obviously, and kind of boss everybody around, and everybody believed it because he had like bodyguards and all this stuff. He arranged everything. And but the probably the biggest prank he did was he became a Bitcoin millionaire. That's the biggest prank that he pulled, because now he's a Bitcoin millionaire.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. But he's written several books and was kind of a internet gadfly, as it was back in the early 2000s and into the mid 2000s. So yeah, but now he does he talks about Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies and all kinds of stuff. You can look him up and find his newsletter or subscribe to it or something. So
yeah,
but he'd be one that nobody would necessarily know, but at the time he was kind of something.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you, you know, I followed off and on a little bit of cryptocurrency, and it always had fascinated me. And then with any good thing, it always seems like you get a trail of shit. And now everybody was creating their own fake crypto coin and trying to sell it. You know, hell, even Tom Brady was in on a coin. You know?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, the wild thing. So back in the speaking of crypto heyday, so I was interested in it. This is one of those kick yourself moments. So I got a son, and at the time that crypto was kind of taken off, so was a thing called Minecraft, if you remember that game.
Yep.
And I remember back in those days, I was fiddling around. I was like, I should make. This is when you could actually make a Bitcoin mining machine kind of a situation, and it would work, right? Yeah. But instead, I made my son a Minecraft server so all his friends could play Minecraft on their own server. So I always tell my son, I'm like, you're the reason that we're not wealthy. Because I decided to do something for you rather than to make my Bitcoin mining machine back in the day. So
it is funny, man. I always got into like the stock market, I guess anything gambling really. And
true. That's what people, you said it so nonchalantly. Yeah. And a lot of people, when you say stock market, they just think it's a that's not a gamble. It is. It's a big gamble. Is. All of it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause we, as the little investor, is not taking a trip down there to go sit down with the CEO and the board members to get a real feel of the company and opening up their books. Cause we're about to buy 50 million shares of their company, So it is a gamble.
Insider trading information. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like, do I look like Nancy Pelosi? Hell no. I don't know what else is going on.
Exactly. Yeah. You just, roll your dice with everybody else and hope that it works out for the best.
Yeah. And I kind of like crypto because crypto felt more like real for the small guy. It was a stick the finger to the big guy. And then it all changed, and now the big guy pretty much owns it again. But
yeah, that's the bad thing. Yeah, although it's not like it was, but you can still dibble and dabble, as they say.
Yeah, you can buy some Dogecoin.
Yeah, I have some Dogecoin.
Do you?
Yeah.
Look, you could have never persuaded me that Dogecoin would one day go to a dollar. Never, yeah. And it sure did.
It's up. Yeah. Yep. I bought it. I bought it as a, almost as a joke. I bought it for my son for Christmas one year because we were joking around about it. And I said, all right, I'm going to buy you some Dogecoin. And you could, at the time, I imagine you can still buy it, but you could actually buy a coin that was a Dogecoin, right? Had the dog on it and the whole bit. So for Christmas one year, I bought him some Bitcoin and some Dogecoin, and he still got it. So gone up. It's gone up quite a bit over the last, over the last month. It's gone up quite a lot.
Are you a Bitcoin guy or is there an altcoin that you follow?
The Bitcoin and the Dogecoin are the two that we talk about, at home here. So that's why I got that. But Ethereum is the other big one, I think.
Yep.
And I do have some Ethereum. And the interesting thing is sometimes you can get stuff, and this is what I do every once in a while, is depending on your who you purchase through, right? Mm-hmm. You can get free coins for things that are starting out. And so you basically airdrop, answer some questions and stuff. And do a little thing. And so I've got, let's see here. And this is, I've got in no specific amounts. I mean, very little on some of these, like, not even a dollar. There's Graph, Amp, Fetch, Bounce, Clover, Stellar.
Yep. Stellar.
And Enzyme. Yep. I've got all these coins for free, basically, by clicking on some things. But the big ones really are Bitcoin's the big one. And I think Ethereum is one of the large ones, although it's splintered recently.
Yeah.
I can't remember the other part of it though.
Yeah. Their platform is starting to be challenged with a lot of other people. XRP being another one that if they can ever figure out whether they're a security or not, they were originally going to be a money transferring platform, and I think they found out that they're more of a platform to build off of.
Yeah.
And so I don't follow them. I was a fan of XRP when they were pennies. I mean, I bought a bunch of them and sold when it made it to like a dollar something.
Yeah.
And is still determined whether that's good or not.
Yeah, you'll find out eventually. Yeah, when it all skyrockets like Bitcoin up into the thousands of dollars, then you'll be like, God damn it.
I remember
you'll be looking for somebody to blame on it. You know, blame them. You made me sell at a dollar. What?
Yep. I was buying Ethereum back when it was $10 and $12.
Mm-hmm.
And I still remember it today, selling it all off because I was like, this shit ain't gonna do nothing. And so I sold it all off. Yeah.
But I think that this is all kind of like you've mentioned gambling. So you only put in what you can afford to lose, and then, you know, yep, just let it sit there. That's kind of what I've done, is just let it sit there. I mean, I don't like do a bunch of buys or anything. I'm just like,
yeah, I don't either.
It was kind of a jokey thing, and it's just kind of sat there and done its thing and gone up and down. And I have an app, and I look at it every once in a while. And sometimes if I'm bored or have time, I'll sit there and poke around and get free ones and go from there. But yeah, I mean, I think that obviously there's something to it. The hard thing is, it's talking about, you know, crypto is that people loved it because it was so anti-establishment, but it really didn't take off until it became establishment.
Yeah.
And so, you know, as soon as people are taking it more seriously and the establishment started stepping in on it, then it took off, which is kind of against what it was to begin with, which is kind of the irony of all this.
Well, the big part about it was, what everybody loved about it was so volatile.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you literally could buy something for pennies and a year later it'd be worth $150, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And now that the big guys have gotten in, they've controlled it closer to the stock exchange. There's still pretty good swings. I mean, in comparison to the stock exchange, I mean, you'll still see things moving 20 to 30%. Occasionally, but you know, unlike the stock market where a big move is probably 3%,
right?
And so there's still room there to make money, but you're absolutely right. There is something to it when you got now places where you can roll your IRA into crypto IRAs.
Right.
It's here to stay. It's not going nowhere.
Oh yeah. I think it's established but like anything, you know, you have to think, how much am I willing to lose?
Yeah.
You know, on this. And so you don't want to bet the farm on it, as it were.
Oh yeah. Well, would you be interested if the dollar became a digital dollar?
Personally, no, but I mean, there's a thing called Tether, which, or USD coin.
Yep.
They're both like digital dollars. I'm a little bit old fashioned in that sense, I suppose. I mean, I generally don't walk around with a lot of cash, just to go, people know, they don't bother me. But I still like the aspects of cash. So the problem with anything digital, is trackability. And the great thing about dollars is they're harder to track.
Yeah. Well,
and it's not that you're doing anything illegal, but.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
You just don't want to have that aspect, you know.
And the fact that, well, again, you know, you give your kid an allowance and by the end of the year, he has to file a tax return on his allowance because now all that's tracked as well, too.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. We need to have mechanisms to do things that aren't so scrutinized.
Yeah. Well, can you imagine?
I mean, you can't.
What the inflation, can you imagine what the inflation rate would be if we taught our politicians? Once the money became digital, you could just go control C, control V, and next thing you know, it expanded. We don't have to print no more.
Well, depending on who you listen to, they already say that's what happens with the Federal Reserve. So there's a whole lot of control C happening with it. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's interesting situation. But, you know, it's, yeah, the money system, you know, when you get down to it, it's what's a, it used to be based on gold. We got taken off the gold standard when you and I were not very old, if at all. And so, yeah, then it's not, it's, what is it based on now? Water? I don't know. I mean,
well, it says that it's backed by the U.S. government.
Don't trust. Okay, that. Sure. Well, no, you can trust it just as much as you trust anybody else. I mean, you know, it's not, you just can't, I don't know. We're all basically bought into a system, right? And we're all agreeing that this system is going to work. And at some point, as we've seen in the past, we won't agree on this system. And then it all just falls apart. And it has happened all throughout the world. We haven't had, you know, the pleasure of living through it yet. But, you know, and I hope we don't. Yeah, I mean, all kinds of other places have, you know, that's why everybody sees those Zimbabwe $1 trillion bills and everything, because it just gets all out of control. And they, because it's not, you know, it's not based on anything tangible. You remember the old silver certificates? There were usually $2 silver certificates. Yeah.
Yep.
So then that was, it supposedly at any time you could take that to the bank and get $2 worth of silver, right? So, you know, but, and then silver becomes something that's not, again, not trackable, and you could take it someplace else if you want to. If there's, you know, you have the means, you could go someplace where silver is more expensive and get more money out of it. So,
and, you know, and they couldn't inflate
transferable.
Silver.
Yeah,
what's I that? Mean, that's what it came to. They couldn't control the inflation of silver. They couldn't deflate the cost of it to keep people in control.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
with gold and silver.
Not to get into too much politics, but yeah, money is a form of control.
It is.
Yeah. No matter what it is. I want it to be a little more guessy. That's why I think the regular dollar is a little bit better than a digital dollar, because then they don't have all the data, right?
Yep.
They know how many dollars are out in the world, but they don't know who has them necessarily. Whereas a digital dollar, they'll know exactly where you have it, where you've spent it, where you've saved it, where you put it. They don't need all that information.
Well, I mean, and not to mention, you know, once everything becomes digital, man, you could be watching porn, catch an STD, and next thing you know, your bankroll is gone. You know, the whole bank account empty.
There you go. Or you won't get insured, because they'll pass that on to the insurance company. They'll be like, hey, he watches an awful lot of porn and he visits hookers with all his digital money. You know, this guy's high risk.
Yep. Know? My social credit would be shit.
So, yeah, exactly. I don't think we need to venture into those territories yet.
No,
it's not worth it.
No,
we're,
I agree.
We're not all living in a silo yet, you know?
Well, I'm going to tell you what
show
I always
silo.
Say. I have not.
That's a science fiction show.
Okay.
On
I always tell people life is a cycle. And at the end of the day, if you follow the cycle and you look at our history, you'll see what part of the cycle we're in. But mm-hmm. there's an old saying that says hard men make easy times. Easy times mm-hmm. makes hard men. And it just keeps going around.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so if you think about this, you know, go back to the Depression where life was hard and the people had to become hard to survive. They made it better for the next generation.
Yeah.
And they didn't know how to struggle, so they made it worse for the next generation, you know?
Yeah. No, that's interesting. Yeah, you're right. So it does seem to be, I mean, it does seem to be, you know, kind of a feast and famine kind of a situation and all that. I would hope that at this point we would find a way to even it all out, but apparently we have not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean,
we've had enough cycles to where we should be like, you know what? The best cycle is somewhere here, but we haven't done that.
Yeah, you are right. You are right. It would be life would be good, and there'd be no money to make off of it. So,
yeah, well, yeah, and that I think that becomes the issue right there is that, you know, they don't want wealth to be redistributed necessarily. People always talking about the redistribution of wealth. That's not what they want. They want the wealth to keep coming in one direction, and so. Yep. But they can't let it go so far because when they get to a point, then, you know, the people revolt. And so then they have to keep, like, throttling it, right? So it's like more than less. So yeah.
I'm going to tell you, it was getting close. I seen a whole bunch of people on TikTok walk out of their suburban homes putting on black flags on the outside of their house. It was coming. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, if you live in suburbia, I mean, that's a tough, you can't hardly leave that.
No,
it's too nice.
And that's a tough move. I mean, yeah. That's you're drawing lines right there when you put a black flag on your, on the front of your house. I don't have the red, white, and blue. I put the black flag out there to tell you I'm ready for war.
Oh my gosh.
Until the power goes out.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that becomes, what was it, I saw some cartoon, it's been quite a while, but it was kind of akin to your depression statement where it was, you know, more contemporary and they're like, oh, I lost my job and something, let's go out to the outback. And then, oh, we only got $5 left. You know, it's like there's no connection with, you know, how much things are worth and so forth, and not wanting to you know, kind of spend your last dollar on frivolous things.
Well, you see that with the hiring phase that we are in. I mean, it is hard to find people that want to come in and work. There's a lot of people out there that would rather just sit at home and have nothing, than have to put in an honest day's work to have something.
I find that interesting. I've never quite, I haven't in my own mind, I suppose, thought of, you know, kind of came to what that is. And one part of me says, hey, good for them, they're doing what they want. But the other side is me is like, but what happens tomorrow? Because you have to have somebody doing these things, you know what I mean? Yeah. I don't want to, like I said, I mentioned the water department, right? And you mentioned that too. I'm like, we have to have people who want to go down in that hole and fix the water main because I want to have water. But if nobody's willing to do it, what's going to happen? You know what I mean? So,
No, we're good. They're coming across the border now. We just got to wait for them to get set up. Okay. They're coming.
But I don't, you know, I think that gets into marketing and what, you know, everybody's selling everybody is this kind of easy life. And, you know, the realization that you can't buy everything you want whenever you want it. And eventually, you know, your world kind of collapses. That's the... you know, we'll have to see where that leads us because they've just kept ramping up the marketing and everybody thinks they deserve everything. But you can't, I mean, you literally can't. I mean, if you think about it, right. So when I was a kid, you wanted to get a car because that was like the big purchase of your life.
Yep.
A house and a car, right?
Yep.
Well, now you have to have a house and a car and the latest phone and gadgets and all of the bells and whistles that go along with it and connectivity. And, you know, there wasn't cable. Everything came over the air free, so you didn't have to pay for that. So there is so many more bills that everybody has to pay if they're going to be what you'd consider your average American. Your salaries aren't going up at the same rate necessarily.
No, they are not. Absolutely not. I mean, inflation is definitely outpacing, you know, raises. But if you think about this, right, go back to when we were kids and estimate kind of what our grocery bill was a week. and ask yourself if the average person spends the same amount in subscriptions as what we spent in groceries.
Easily. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's weird like that though, because something's got to give eventually, I would think. But you just can't, I can't live without my phone. It's like, nobody had phones 25 years ago.
Yeah. This kind of goes along with the conversation I had. I had a gentleman on my show that was really good with AI, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm embracing AI. I love it as a tool. I don't like it for creation, but to help me with grammar and stuff like that, I do like it for those types of things. Sure. But I asked him, I said, where in the future do you think AI is going to put the people? Where are we going to be at when AI is out there in mainstream? And he said something that I really did not expect him to say. He said, we will all be sitting at dinner tables again and talking with each other and going next door and visiting with our neighbors. And I said, you think that's what AI is going to do for the people? He said, yes, because if you're on the internet, you won't know if what you're talking to is real or not. And so as the internet has embraced people and made us start talking through screens, at that point, the only way I will know that you're a real person or I'm a real person is by sitting next to you and being able to talk to you.
Interesting. That's an interesting thought there.
Yeah.
I see the point there. I can see where AI basically will burn itself out, because once it becomes so easy for people to do all these things, everybody does them. And once everybody does them, it loses its cachet. So, it'll burn itself out. Everybody can't be an artist, but everybody who uses AI tools can be an artist. So then therefore an artist won't be anything to be.
Yeah.
You're right. That happens over time. So yeah, I guess that makes interesting point there.
Yeah.
There's an odd coincidence that, we didn't talk about anything ahead of time. I actually had a short conversation with a friend of mine about AI today. And I said, it's not really intelligence. It's artificial plagiarism, because it basically just reaches out and finds things that already exist in the world and reworks them to be what you're asking for. And so it's not intelligence in the sense that it's creating something, from whole cloth, as it were. It's creating something from something else someone's created. Yep. And iteratively, things like that usually don't get better. They usually get worse if you just keep iterating gimmicky. Like that.
It'll all become gimmicky is what'll happen. And you're already starting to see it. Everybody's selling something, and AI will become a buzzword.
It is the buzzword. Yeah. Yep. I'm like, that's the word they put on the packaging. Right. Yep. So it's AI enhanced. We're already seeing it in everything. So, yeah.
Back in our day, AI was artificially inseminated. So I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
There'll be more of that going on as well.
Yeah, you probably ain't wrong. You probably ain't.
Don't be like, why settle for a piece when you can have the whole thing and you get one of those Elon Musk robots?
Absolutely.
Stick a vibrator on it and there you go. Instant husband.
and he doesn't get fat like I did. So
yeah, that's right. He doesn't complain, doesn't want to know what's for dinner. You can hit the off switch anytime you want.
Yep. That's it, man.
His back doesn't hurt after he lifts a bunch of furniture for the day.
For the sixth time that day.
Yeah, moves it all around for you.
Yep. And then you get told to move it again. Yeah, that's how my luck goes.
Oh, no, I want to see all the variations. Okay.
Yep. Don't you know that you can take a picture of it and move it around.
Yeah,
and
you,
make
no,
it look
it's like not good it. Enough. I want to see it in the real world. We got to see it with the natural light, not this phony stuff. Not this AI light. They don't know where the sun's at in my room. Yeah.
I wonder, you know, would that be like a thing? You know, you come home and you think now your AI husband is faithful and you catch it screwing the washing machine or something.
Not the same. I wasn't cheating. It's a machine.
I had my socks on. It wasn't cheating.
What's my socks on? My socks was in there. I was trying to get it out, but my hands were busy.
Yeah, I could just see it, man. Oh,
goodness gracious.
It is funny. I mean, if you could be lighthearted about the world that we live in today, there is a lot of comedy.
Oh my gosh, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's so ridiculous. Oh my gosh.
I mean, now is the time to become a comedian because you don't even have to write your own material. Just watch the news.
No,
they're going to tell you what to talk about. Yeah. Absolutely.
Exactly. Yep. It's all happening. You just have to pay attention.
Yep.
Too much.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, you can, like you said, you can either laugh about it or you can be mad and changing your flag to a black flag and ready to go to war.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I think everybody's tired of that part. I think we need to come up with something. I mean, that's what the lottery's all about, isn't it? To give somebody a good day.
I'm telling you. You know, I would take one of those days.
Yeah, exactly. It's what everybody's like. Yeah, I'll take that. Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we got the two national lotteries. Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
I
can just see the way that would change your mood too. You get your winning ticket, and on your way back in, you take the black flag down. You put the stars and the stripes back up again. You're like, I'm happy.
I'm happy now. Yeah.
I no longer care about anything.
I mean, I'll be one of those people that doesn't feel like working, except I'll have it all taken care of.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah.
I would literally
buy some Bitcoin. Who cares if I lose it all? Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Buy a Bitcoin, order a pizza. There you go.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. You're referring to the guy who bought a pizza with Bitcoin back in the day, and now that Bitcoin that he spent on that pizza is worth a bundle.
Yeah.
That's kooky to think about, isn't it?
I know. The most expensive pizza in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. Give it a little time, right? So that's all you need.
I bet he didn't even get breadsticks.
I don't think he did. I remember that story. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff.
Do you know the story behind the Dogecoin?
Yeah. It was the guy's dog, and he just decided to make a coin with his dog's face. The hilarious thing is my son dressed up as Doge back in those days, and he basically made a t-shirt for Halloween one year of the dog. And he would go, we went, I took him. He was not that, I mean, he was of trick-or-treating age. He wasn't a teenager. And he says, I'm going to be Dogecoin. I'm going to be Doge for Halloween. And I said, okay. And I helped him, and we got a t-shirt made and everything because you couldn't buy it. And he goes to the door, and he says, trick-or-treat. And they're like, what are you? And he's like, I'm Doge. And everybody was so confused. But he had a good time.
I bet he did, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. That guy created it as a joke.
Yeah, it was a joke. Yeah.
He did not expect it to be a following.
Yeah, and it's taken off, and I mean it's still around, for gosh sakes. We don't have that t-shirt anymore. I wish we still had it. But the Doge t-shirt. He just thought the dog was funny, and he thought the whole story was funny, how. So
yeah,
that's what he wanted to do for Halloween
man.
That year.
I think that's really cool, you know.
Yeah, he's kind of a quirky kid.
The old
so.
Doge.
Yeah.
Well, Bob, I appreciate it.
He went as Charlie Brown in the Charlie Brown special. You remember when he had he went as a ghost and he had all the holes in his sheet?
Yeah.
He yeah. went as that one year.
How did that work out for him?
Well, some people got it and thought it was hilarious, and then half the people didn't get it. But every time they put something in his bag, he goes, "I got a rock." Because that's what Charlie Brown says. And so the people who got it would be like, "That's hilarious," and the people who didn't, like, "Why are there so many holes in your ghost outfit?"
Well, that's what they had. I couldn't afford a new sheet.
That's right. So anyway, yeah. he's a funny kid.
Yeah, but see those are the things that we see kind of going away is these traditions. I watch, you know, my family's in Georgia and we live in a real small town out there. And, mm-hmm. And the Christmas parades used to be huge. And now it's like, there goes the cop cars, the parade's starting, here comes Santa. You know what I mean? It's over. Nothing in between anymore.
There's the fire truck with Santa on it.
Yep. It's like nobody wants to spend the money for the floats, but those are the American traditions. You know, that's part of what we do. And
I think, and it's like a once a year thing. And when I think, I mean, maybe just because I'm older, but those are the kind of things that stick with people. So you know, like I mentioned the trick or treat stories because for my kids, we always said, whatever you want to do, we will basically fund your costume. And so we made a lot of things by hand or, you know, spent some money on the not going to the store and buying a costume, but spending money to come up with whatever vision they had. Right. And so then that became this memory, just like you talk about the parade. The parade becomes this point in time that is becomes very special, even though it's not necessarily sometimes, a T-shirt with a picture of a dog doesn't cost a whole lot. Right.
Yeah.
But that's the idea. And so then you do that. And then that becomes a point in time that will always be remembered.
Yeah.
Like the parade only happens once a year and it becomes a point. They threw candy at me. Right. And that was the point in time that is remembered.
Yeah.
And I think we're losing some of those because I think everybody, you know, there's so much happening that none of those points become memory points. They just become the day. And so you don't have anything that's like really kind of impactful. You know, how many times can you see a cat yawn? It's not going to be a big memory point, even all these memes and everything, you know.
Yep.
But every once in a while, one will bubble to the top, but that doesn't happen too often. It's not quite the same.
It's not the same. And and what you're doing with your young'uns, man, is awesome in another way too. You're teaching your kids that their imagination can become reality.
Oh yeah. Know? Well, yeah. It's with all this, to me, it's always creative stuff. That's why I started recording things. That's why you're talking to a cat, because I get a weird idea and I'm like, hey, I wonder if I can do this. And then you go through the process of trying to make it happen.
Well, you made me Google how to do it. So
I'll tell you, I'm very upfront on these things. I can tell you what to get. It's just a matter of doing it. Yeah.
What all do you need?
So, because there's a lot of avatars out there and I looked at those and I didn't really, it wasn't the aesthetic I was looking for. Right. So I like that. Looks like an actual cartoon, what you're looking at. So I don't know if some people are going to see it on video and audio, but if you're on audio, look at the video. And it's not like three dimensional. It's like two dimensional cartoon. Right.
Yep.
And so I'm using what is called Adobe Character Animator. Yep. And created this character, and and then I created the background and all that kind of stuff. And then inside that software, you can set it up to where it's literally looking at me on a webcam, and it's mapped my face and parts of my face, and okay, it's syncing up to my voice. So, and then like I can do something, like I can move my eyebrows, right?
Yep.
And then it does, my eyes dart around because I'm always looking around. So it does follow my eyes for the most part. The blinking is not always me blinking. It probably blinks on its own. If I just sat here still, it would still blink. It's just automatic. And then I move my head around, and I've got to work on it some more because I can do some arm motions, but it's a little harder to do that. And well, I might kill everything by doing it. I don't know.
Well, I
can do arm motions, but it's a little tough to do that because I have to click on things when I'm talking at kind of regular pace. It doesn't work out to do that. But
I absolutely love it, man. I think
I don't know if I can do that or not. Oh, here we go. Here you go. Ready? Hey.
There you go.
What's going on, my man? How's everybody doing? heck, you got me. I don't know what's going on.
You almost look like you're doing the wave there, man.
Yeah, well, that was the wave. Yay. Yeah,
there you go.
I don't know, man. Okay, so but anyway, you have to click on, and I can. It's hard for me to kind of be in the moment conversationally and actually click on those buttons. And there's only a few of them that I've got set up. If I work a little bit harder, then I can actually make it track my hand movements. But unfortunately, then you like, I sit here and touch my face a lot, apparently, because mm-hmm. I've been noticing it. And, so then you just see my hand touching my face constantly, which is not that great. So, but yeah, there's probably other ways to do it as well, but that's what I'm doing. So,
well, that is awesome.
Yeah, if you go back onto YouTube, this whole idea I had about four or five years ago. But anyway, I wanted to animate the show, and so I did. So actually, there's like a big lightning bolt looking thing off to my one side there. And there's actually my co-host would be on the other side of the lightning bolt, and I animated both of us. And so there's YouTube videos where we're both animated but then I started doing guesting and stuff like that. And I'm like, well, maybe I'll use my animated guy for that.
I think it's awesome.
Yeah. So that's where that kind of evolved into. So, cause it's really hard to do both people if they're not, if they don't have their own rigs, which he doesn't. And so then I had to do it all post and it became a big pain in the neck.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I am definitely going to give it an attempt because I'd love to have a cool cat like introduce me or something. That'd be really cool.
Yeah. Now there's a thing. What have I got? Okay, I'll give you an easy way to go. If you want to try something, it's called Animaker. Mm-hmm. Animaker.
Okay.
And somebody was asking me about something, and I said, they're like, can you do this? And they wanted to have something happen. And they gave me a sound file, and I'm like, well, I mean, I could do it in Adobe Animator, but it's going to take me a long time because it's like, you know, kind of a more bulky program. But this Animaker thing, you can kind of, if you want to just do an intro kind of thing or something like that, you can throw stuff together pretty quickly. And it's free to a point, like everything. But yeah, Animaker, AnimaKer.com. And you can do, if you have your audio already, you can do a little intro. I had a monkey. I made this guy something with a monkey and two other people singing, and the monkey's kind of conducting them. And then
awesome.
Yeah, it was just kind of silly, so but it was fun. I gotta play with that some more, and it again looked, has this kind of a little more like this aesthetic. If you go onto Facebook or Zoom or any of those, the avatars that they have just don't quite have the aesthetic, if you ask me. They're a little I don't know what you call it. Messy 3D. I don't know what you call it, but
I agree.
Crisp, you know.
I agree. And I think anything that comes out, anything that comes out bulk like that is going to be, you know, semi, not the best for the top guy and not the worst for the new guy. Right, you're going to be in that middle somewhere.
Yeah, I've played around with those too. I haven't recorded anything with them because I'm just like, I just play around with them and then I'm like, I don't know if I like the look of this. So, because we've had a whole conversation and you're looking at a cartoon character, but it's flowed really well. So
it has. Yeah.
I think part of that is the aesthetic. It's not distracting.
Yep. I'm literally talking to a cat. Well, brother, I appreciate you coming on, man. I have had a great time. I got your podcast website running down here at the bottom. Is there some other place?
Look at that.
Is there some other place you'd like people to go, or is that it?
Yeah, depending on the day, I'd probably tell them a lot of places to go. No, that's fine. They can go there. You can go there and you know, listen to a show or what have you. There's all kinds of weird stuff there. And then we're pretty much Static Radio on any of the socials. A few variations, but all the major ones is Static Radio.
Okay. Well, that is awesome, man. I'm going to put you in the green room. We're going to throw the exit video out, and I'll be right with you, man. I've had a great time, Bob. Thanks for coming on, brother.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, y'all. I hope y'all had a great time because I know I did. I needed a good laugh like that because, last few episodes have been deep. And now we get a laugh and have a good time. Sleep good. I hope all of y'all enjoyed it. Go check out Bob at staticradio.com or follow his socials. And I know you're going to enjoy his show. His website's got a lot of stuff up on there, from merch to the show and everything in between. So go check him out. I hope y'all enjoy it. Remember, don't let the day kick your ass. Kick the day's ass.